I mean, like, there's no point in trying to argue with these people, because again, you can't really afford it. You got to go where they're hungrier and where they would see the value. So a lot of what we're talking about here is not trying to convince people that there is greater value in what you do. Is if they don't see that already, is going elsewhere.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Business of Freelancing podcast, where we help you get better clients, make more money, and live a happier and a healthier life freelancing. I'm your host, Brendan Dunn, and I just got back from a very long, very tiring week in Vegas. I was there for MicroConf, one of my favorite conferences of the year, and got to see a lot of my internet buddies and brought my wife, Deborah, and we had a really good time. And downside is very little happened in regards to work. But the upside is I got back and realized that a lot of people, specifically in the new class, Double Your Freelancing Clients, have been really kicking butt in terms of getting stuff done. So super happy about that. And back in the office, back in the daily grind. And that does actually explain, too, why I missed last week's podcast. Again, I'm trying to get a weekly podcast up and running finally. I've been on track except for last week, and again, I was out of town. So speaking of conferences, I'm actually in the works of creating a conference for freelancers and consultants. Doesn't have a title yet. I've got a few people on my short list to speak. It will probably be in the East Coast of the US. And if you're interested, while there's no, as of this recording, there's no website, there's no opt-in form or anything. It's very all being done over email right now. But demand seems to be there. The demand is there. There's not really, to my knowledge, any sort of far-reaching, comprehensive conference that focuses on a lot of what we talk about here, which is the business side of consulting. If you want to kind of keep in touch about that conference, it'll probably be this fall, 2015. You're going to want to go to my website, doubleyourfreelancing.com, click on newsletter, and then just make sure you're on my list if you're not yet. That's going to be that'll be where it's announced. If you would like to email me too about any ideas you have about, you know, speakers, venues, whatever else, you can go to doubleyourfreelancing.com and click on contact all the way at the bottom and shoot me an email. So today I brought on Ed Gandia. Ed is a good friend of mine who is actually a published author with a book out on freelancing, specifically on helping freelance writers, freelance bloggers, maybe authors, learn how to really make a living freelancing. And to be honest, that's not something that is really in my wheelhouse. While I write for my own blog, I've never been hired as a blogger or anything like that. So I wanted to bring Ed on to just kind of give me an overview of specifically how can a lot of what I talk about here, what I talk about on my site and elsewhere, how can that be applied to the world of writing? So here's Ed. Hey everyone, so I'm here with my good friend Ed Gandia. Ed, welcome. I think I was on your podcast, so welcome to the Business of Freelancing.
Yeah, it's great to be here and on the other end of things.
Yeah. So I wanted to bring you on because you are the guy, I think, when it comes to getting high value writing gigs. Like I know you at International Freelancers Academy, that's kind of, I think, what you mostly focus on, right? Like that's,
yeah. So it's International Freelancers Academy is one, and then high income business writing. A couple of years ago, I developed a kind of a new niche brand, if you will, because I have so many, and I'm a writer and copywriter. So I have so many followers and readers who are writers and they wanted very specific advice for them. So I have International Freelancers Academy for freelancers in all professions and then high income business writing just for writers.
Right. So truthfully, I know next to nothing about the world of freelance writing. So I'd love to just, you know, now that my audience at least has expanded quite a bit and I have a lot of writers, bloggers, and so on who listen to the podcast and read my blog, I think the biggest pushback I get from writers is I have no idea how to apply a lot of what you talk about, you know, charging based on the value of the project and everything else to my craft. Actually, just yesterday, I spoke to a lady who she does freelance editing. She edits. And she's like, I have, you know, I don't know how to even begin applying a lot of what you're talking about to my world. So my off the cuff advice was thinking, well, you know, if editing is kind of like one part of the funnel, I think, from like creating content to wanting that content to be useful. So if you're an author, you know, editing is one part of that kind of book launch cycle, I guess. So maybe she could do something like, you know, step back a little and think more in terms of, well, what can I do that includes editing that will help an author create a bestseller or, you know, something like that. I do a lot of writing, but I know nothing about the world of writing as a service for clients. So I'd love to know just a lot of kind of your thoughts on how do you apply a lot of, I guess, kind of the value-based approach where you charge more and get better clients to the world of writing.
Yeah, no, and it's a very, very valid question. A couple of thoughts. One is that the moment you start talking about, well, I'm an editor or I'm a writer or I'm a copywriter, you're kind of entering a path of commoditization. You know, this is a business, especially companies and clients that hire writers and copywriters and editors. It's a transactional sale, right? It's not typically viewed as a consultative engagement. So they're many times approaching it as just kind of a transaction. I've done this before. What I mean by transaction is I've done this before. I've worked with other writers. I have a need. I'm looking for someone who can help me with a specific need. A couple of mistakes I see people make, maybe we can approach it that way by, you know, what are the mistakes? One is trying to sell the value of what you're doing to someone who already understands that, right? The moment you have to sell the value of your services and why somebody needs a professional like you, you're barking up the wrong tree. You need to go to markets where they already get it. So that's one thing. The second thing is you need to get away from this whole I'm a writer mentality, and you really need to talk about why you're different from the rest. I see very little of that. So let's just use your example. And let's say that you're an editor and a lot of your clients tend to be book authors. Well, I would look a little bit more specifically at the situation, not just, okay, well, don't just say you're an editor. Okay, well, you're an editor for book authors, but look at the patterns. Who have you worked with over the past 3 years, let's say? You know, are there any areas of expertise? So have you worked with a lot of, let's say, self-help authors or, I don't know, business opportunity authors or whatever it might be? And maybe that's not all you've worked with, but let's say you've developed kind of a little following there and you keep getting referred in that little world. You really need to bring that to the surface, because everything else being equal, if I'm an author in the self-help arena and I see that you tend to focus on editing, doing editing work for self-help authors, then that really makes a world of difference. I'm going to go with you, or you're going to be top of the list.
Even if you charge more, because again, you're more, the risk is lower that you're going to actually know what they need done.
Yeah. In fact, you should charge more. So that's one of the biggest things, and it's one of the simplest things you could do is kind of looking back at everything you've done and saying, look, I'm going to drive that stake in the ground and I'm going to say my specialty or my gift is doing this kind of work for this audience. It's counterintuitive, because a lot of people say, well, gosh, if I do that, I'm really narrowing my market and I'm walking away from opportunities. Believe me, and I know you talk about this, Brennan, believe me, it's so much easier.
Oh, it's funny. Actually, the blog post I'm writing this morning is focused on the fear that comes with niching, the fear that comes with having a strong position. It is something that a lot of, because I think we tend to think of ourselves as like, you hang up your shingle saying, you know, writer for sale, only $50 an hour. And you start thinking, well, if I'm only going to focus on self-help authors, do I need to say no? And the funny thing is, when you really think about it, the most successful entrepreneurs are those who know how to say no and stick to saying no when they need to. But I think a lot of us just aren't, especially those of us who are just starting our own business, saying no is hard, right?
Like, it is hard.
It's very hard. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, what, I don't know what, if I say no to this, when is the next opportunity going to come around? So it is difficult, but you have to do this. And you know what? We can talk about, well, what if you're starting out and you really have nothing? You can still draw upon your experience and your background, because everyone's got something to offer, even if that experience is not as a freelancer. Mm-hmm.
Could be like with your recent employer or something like that. I mean, that's what I did when I started. I had a lot of experience in lead generation because I worked as a designer at a lead generation company. So it made sense for me to kind of focus in on that. But yeah, I mean, I didn't acquire that knowledge through freelancing.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, it doesn't have to be by industry. Everyone thinks, oh, well, I don't want to focus on any particular industry. You know, that's okay. I've seen writers do this very effectively by taking a deeper look at their core gifts and talents. And for instance, I work with somebody who was very clear about the fact that her gift was the ability to work with CEOs and high-level executives and I forget how she worded it, it was much better than the way I'll describe it, but to write in their authentic voice. So she was a ghostwriter. Her target audience gets that, because a lot of these executives have real trouble finding someone who can write in their own authentic voice. They can write well, but it's not their voice. It doesn't sound like them. And she has a gift for really mirroring that executive's voice. And so that message resonates with a segment of the audience. Notice it's not everybody. It's if you've been frustrated in the past by, you know, someone who writes well, but not in your voice. Well, guess what? That's my gift. So notice no particular industry there. She just talked about her core talent.
Right. Right. Which is, and that's really a core pain too. I mean, it's a pain that's shared across different industries. I mean, you could own a fertilizer company, or you could own a plumbing company, and you might have that same issue, that same underlying issue. So it's not specific to a vertical, like you said, or an industry or something. I assume for writing projects, I assume referrals are still the name of the game in terms of the place to get the highest quality, best work as a freelance writer, right?
You know, it is. I mean, it just in any business, that's going to be the case, because what we're doing right now, it's overwhelming. You can find a writer within seconds with all these tools and platforms. That's not the challenge,
though, right? I mean, you can go to Odesk and say, I want somebody who charges a penny a word or something. And there you go. You've got somebody who will charge you a penny a word, which I've always kind of scratched my head. That's like saying, I want a designer who will charge me by the pixel, which, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it doesn't really make any sense in my mind. But anyway, what are some tips you have for somebody who's stuck kind of with that commoditized? Because I've got a lot of people who've emailed me saying, you know, I don't know how to get beyond charging for the word. I don't know if you know much about like the translation industry, but that's another segment I hear from a lot where they're saying, how do I escape this charging by the word sort of thing? What advice do you have for people who want to be able to secure obviously choosing that niche, choosing, you know, developing that positioning statement, but what do you do after that? Like, how do you take that and go with it?
Every market has a segment or several segments that are willing to pay more. I call them hungrier markets. So this is the difference between going somewhere where it's very transactional and they're basically looking for the lowest cost provider versus someone who's looking for the lowest risk. They want high experience, low risk, because they want to be able to give the project to this individual, know it's going to get done, and it's going to get done right. The other thing you have to understand with writers is the people who hire writers and copywriters don't want to, especially in the B2B space, they don't want to have churn, right? They don't want to have turnover. They want to find someone they can basically work with long term. So that's the mentality. And what you have to do is you have to go to hungrier markets. By that, I mean markets where they're willing to pay more because the value of the deliverable is more for them than it is for someone who's just, let's say, just wants to pump out content because of SEO reasons or because they have this expectation where they have to have so much content going out every day. And every market has them. I don't care where you work, they're going to be there. So the challenge is you may not know what they are right now. You really have to dig deep. And many times those markets find you. I'll give you a couple of examples. I mean, one of them is I'm focused on high tech, specifically enterprise software. And, you know, so my clients sell $1 million plus solutions, software solutions that involve consulting with it and implementation services. And when you're talking about a deal that could be worth $1 million or $2 million, you know, if a white paper I write for my client, let's say a 10-page white paper, can help solidify that deal or can help attract a lead that could eventually turn into a $2 million client, $6,000-$7,000 is a drop in the bucket. And, you know, could someone come in at 4 or 5? Yes. But, I mean, think about, you know, the marketing manager or director who's making that decision. If we're talking about a $2,000 difference, and I seem to be more experienced, I seem to really get where they're coming from and what they're trying to communicate, and I understand their target audience and all these good things, then I'm a lower risk. That $2,000 difference is nothing, because guess what? If they go with this other writer who's $2,000 less, but they don't seem to really have what I have, and they go with them in let's say 2 months go by or 6 weeks go by, they've just wasted all that time. And they can't gain it back, right? So it's big risk, especially when there's tight deadlines.
Well, I mean, that's typically the thing. I think when there's higher risk, people want to go cheaper, right? Because they want to hedge their bets, I guess, right? And I mean, I do the same thing when I hire off of Odesk for kind of like data research stuff, which to me is largely commoditized. I hire multiple people at once because I know at least one of them is going to fail on me. And I mean, by failing, I don't mean they're not going to do work. What I mean is they're not going to do the right work. They're not going to give me the results I'm looking for. So if somebody could come to me and say, I know what you need. Here's exactly what I can do for you. Here's how I'm going to do it and so on. I'd rather avoid the headache of needing to shop around and, you know, throw out money and realize that, you know, hey, there's a 50-50 shot. They're going to fail. So it's my job to drive down the costs, right? To limit my risk. But if somebody can come in and say, look, yeah, I'm three times the price of these other people you're looking at, but I'm pretty certain I can help you, and here's how. Those are the people I'm going to go with, right? So that's how I look at it. I mean, it's funny though, when you mentioned that enterprise, kind of the enterprise sales cycle. One of my early clients is a yacht broker. And they sell like one boat a year. That's what they're hoping for, right? So, yeah. You know, when we were doing their site, yeah, I mean, it was basically, the discussion wasn't about how many pages, what should it look like, did we put, you know, pretty pictures of the yacht here. It was all about, how do we get you more people to actually enter your very small sales pipeline, right? I mean, if I can get you 2 leads in a month instead of 1 lead in a month, you might sell 2 boats this year, right? Which is a doubling of your revenue, right? So, I mean, that's how we sold it. And the price was, I mean, when we're throwing around, I think it was like 10, 20 grand or something. It was, they were only thinking about, well, wow, if we got one more boat sold a year, it's like $20 million more for us, or, you know, something like that, right? So I think that's what you want to do. You don't want to compete on the technicals. And this is something I think both of us have been saying for a while, but I think it's especially true for writers. I mean, your job as a writer, the content is a tool that's meant to increase leads or increase sales. I mean, especially if you're doing any sort of writing that is like sales page writing or something like that. I mean, that's, you know, if you can increase the amount of sales that they get off of a page that you write, I mean, to me, that's a relatively, for me at least, an easy sale. You know, I know how to go in there and say, look, like, tell me about your sales now. Here's what I know a lot about sales and psychology, but I also know how to write. Let's find a way to double your revenue from this page.
Well, let me add to that, because, and I'm part of your audience, right, with writers, and I understand what the objection to that might be. It's like, well, Brennan, I get that, but the kind of writing I do is not sales or lead generating. So it's very hard to tie specific value. And I want to help you shift how you view this, because there is still value. And it has to do with what we talked about a little bit earlier, which is, okay, so let's say you're writing content, and it's just content to help just create credibility with your clients, customers, or prospects, to educate them, whatever it might be. The value is that you're lower risk, that you're going to get it, that you're going to do a better job, that you're going to come through. I think in those scenarios, what you have to look at is who is your contact at your client's organization and what do they really care about? And typically what they care about is they got way too many plates in the air and they need someone who's really going to come through and do a great job on time, every time. Somebody who's easy to work with. All these factors, which are intangibles, I get that. But if you can communicate that and you can show them that, if they can give you a shot and then you can really prove yourself, that's huge value. Can you put a dollar amount to it? No. But you can have this conversation with them and they'll get it. They'll get it. And this is why in that world, referrals are even more important. That's why you need to actively cultivate referrals. I just in the past week alone, now this doesn't happen all the time. Just in the past week alone, I've had 4 people, established businesses, ask me for referrals for solid writers. And they each had very specific criteria. Could they find somebody else out there? Yes. But you know, these are people who are in that category I just mentioned where, look, this is not sales or lead generating stuff. This is what I need. And this is what they're looking for. And they want someone who they can be with for a long time. And so, yeah. So think of value in terms of other things, not just.
No, I agree. Although I might argue that, a company blog that's meant to condition customers or leads is still a part of that overall sales funnel. But
oh, sure.
It's not as direct. But yeah, there's even times, I mean, you work with a big company and you're working with a department head who doesn't even touch revenue. I mean, what they're looking for is to look good in front of their boss. So you sell them on how can we work together, you know, to make your life easier, to make a good splash so your department shines, you know, in your corporation. I mean, you want to learn. I think that's the big thing. The easy answer is to say, if you're working with a solo business owner, they probably care about the ROI, the financial ROI. However, that's not going to be a universal case, or it's not going to be an exclusive universal case. You should learn from your customer, and I think this is what you're saying, to figure out like what sucks about you as it comes to working with writers right now. Like what pains you have, and the pains are things like you mentioned. My voice is lost. I care a lot about ensuring that my voice remains a part of the content. Yet I'm working with flaky freelancers who are going over deadline or are just kind of not listening to my needs, and they're just kind of writing words for the sake of work. I mean, you want to respond to that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I love what you said. Make me look good. And so in certain environments, that's the key driver. And you mentioned solo business owners. One of these 4 individuals who came to me, she's a solo business owner. And you should see her criteria. Basically, she told me, I want someone who can write in a fun, engaging way, who likes to have a good time, and meets deadlines and can work fast.
Is she looking for a date or is she looking for?
but it's a personality driven business,
right.
A brand, yeah. and writing in that style. And she's even giving me some examples. You need to pay careful attention to what they're looking for. The other thing I would mention is, writers come to me all the time. Yeah, but my prospects are always beating me down on price. They just care about the lowest cost. You know what? Look elsewhere. I mean, like, there's no point in trying to argue with these people because, again, you can't really afford it. You got to go where they're hungrier and where they would see the value. So a lot of what we're talking about here is not trying to convince people that there is greater value in what you do. Is if they don't see that already, is going elsewhere.
That's right. And if they're coming to you, if their first question is, well, how much do you charge per word, let's say,
flag.
Yeah. Move to the next candidate. Because you only have so much availability. So why would you want to waste it on something like that? But again, it's hard to say no. And a lot of us are still conditioned to, rejecting work is probably the worst thing I can do for the success of my business. But both of us are probably going to be able to say that that's not typically true.
No. And you know what? I think we learned that by
the hard way.
Traditional businesses.
Right. Well, I learned it the hard way.
Traditional businesses don't turn down business, but this is not a traditional business, right? Traditional businesses have teams of people who can continue to pound on doors. It's just you, so you can't afford. It's a different model, and you need to realize that. Don't do what traditional businesses do.
Exactly. If you could just pick one thing that a writer should work on to double their income, what would you recommend?
it's a tough thing, but you need to dig deep and find your core value. And, you know, that's a, gosh, I work with people sometimes for weeks on extracting that. And many times we extract a layer that really it's the layer on top of what it really is. And that real thing kind of comes out over the course of several months. It kind of comes out on its own. But it's really figuring out, what do I really do? For whom? Why am I different? And why does that difference matter? If you can explain this in a way that's authentic, that's sincere, and it resonates with a target market that gets it already. So if you have that intersection, man, the rest is just so much easier. You know, so most people don't do that. It's hard work. And by the way, it's very difficult to do this on your own. So I think if you're serious about kind of getting clarity on that, you need to work with someone. You know, whether you pay someone, whether you work with a friend, we're too close to our own stuff to really see or value. So you need some help.
Right. Well, Ed, I just want to thank you again for coming on. This has been, I've wanted to get somebody who is an expert at the business of writing for a while. I'm glad you were able to come on. Where can people find out more about you and what you're up to?
Sure. Thanks for asking. It's b2blauncher.com. So letter B, the number two, letter B again, b2blauncher.com. That's my main website for high income business writing. I have a biweekly podcast there you can check out, and you can also subscribe on iTunes, looking up High Income Business Writing.
Awesome. Well, Ed, thank you again. And I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Brennan.
I hope you enjoyed listening to that interview with Ed as much as I enjoyed recording it. If you haven't yet left a review on Stitcher or iTunes, I would love it if you would do that. Again, you can go to doubleyourfreelancing.com/podcast to get the links to do that. Keep an eye out for the conference. I'm really excited about it. Just ever since going to MicroConf last week, it's just been on my mind, and I've got all these ideas. I've got a beautiful venue picked out if I do it where I want to do it. And the speaker list that I've kind of been organizing via email is looking pretty impressive. So we will see you again next time for another episode of the Business of Freelancing podcast.